You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Members of our Patreon get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos, blogs, and other perks, including free apparel and so much more. To become part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
All right. On today's episode, we're going to discuss mental health because it is Mental Health Awareness Month this month. Mm-hmm. And I think that both of us have, you know, experience trying to take care of our mental health and be in the best mental health possible. And it's something that's really important to both of us.
Yeah. I think also on kind of piggybacking on last week's episode, we talked to artists becoming and who are really trying to help people in the industry take better care of themselves, but also we started watching this new series on Apple Plus that kind of sparked our interest.
Yeah.
It's called The Me You Can't See.
The Me You Can't See. And it's Oprah.
It's Oprah and Prince William.
Prince Harry.
Oh, sorry. Prince Harry.
Prince Harry. Come on.
I'm not that up on the royal family, but.
Oh, okay. Meghan Markle.
But if you haven't seen it on Apple Plus, it's been really interesting. They're interviewing different people and talking about their own mental health journeys. And it really got us interested in having this conversation because there is kind of a stigma around it.
Yeah, there's a big stigma. And it's interesting, too, that so many of the people's parents, well, not so many, the one woman who was speaking, her mother, you know, didn't want to take her to the doctor because she felt like if she basically acknowledged that there was a problem, that it would just go on forever and ever and that it wouldn't be solved. And I mean, I can totally relate to,
but then in the same, but then what was interesting is I found that particular story you're referring to was an Asian American daughter whose mother had immigrated here. And so I think immigrants have their own, you know, they come from a culture that maybe doesn't talk about mental health. And then they're in America where people talk like there's discussions about it. I mean, it's just like there's a lot of, it's interesting the stigmas and where they come from. And, you know, to talk about my own journey with mental health, I mean, I have a brother who has a genetic disorder.
What is it?
It's called Fragile X syndrome.
And what's Fragile X syndrome?
And it's a chromosome disorder. So it basically means that the X chromosome was too fragile to form in its normal, the normal way that it would in a healthy child.
Got it.
And so it's kind of, you can have Fragile X syndrome and you can be on the spectrum. So something we didn't even know about, right? We didn't even know autism existed 40 years ago. We didn't know that Fragile X existed.
Right.
And he wasn't diagnosed until, I don't know, maybe he was almost 30.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I knew you when he was diagnosed.
And that, it's still kind of confusing what it is. It's hard to explain. But regardless, there, you know, we always thought it was a brain disorder. We always thought he was mentally challenged. Mm-hmm. It's had many terms. But the effect that had on our family, I think, emotionally, mentally, and also you know, my mom's side of the family, she has two sisters that are diagnosed bipolar, who are both on pretty extreme medications. I mean, my one aunt, they found her one day wandering through an airport by herself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And my other aunt, you know,
yeah,
who lives here, who is on lithium for years, wow, I mean, for her bipolar disorder. And it is a genetic, you know, it's passed down. It's hereditary. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I remember struggling in school, focusing really early on in school. I guess my grades weren't great. I don't know. I didn't really care. I just hated school.
I did
not want to be in school.
I hated it.
But in middle school, I guess my grades weren't doing great. So my mom took me to a psychiatrist who diagnosed me and Bart with ADD. And he prescribed us Ritalin.
Really?
And I started taking Ritalin. And at that same time, I started expressing to my mom that I thought I might be gay.
It's the Ritalin. Ritalin did it.
So clearly I was depressed. So they put me on antidepressants.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that part.
You didn't?
Maybe I did.
I was on antidepressants through most of middle school. And then when we moved to Orange, that's when I really needed the antidepressants. I think we stopped taking the antidepressants. I still took Ritalin, and I took Ritalin all through college.
Hmm.
And I don't know, just because I lost insurance. I don't remember what. I just didn't. Self-care was not a priority.
Mm-hmm.
I was self-medicating a lot through college. But the ADD, ADHD, I would say.
What's the difference between ADD and ADHD?
ADD is really just attention deficit disorder, right? You have a hard time focusing.
Okay.
Deficit on keeping your attention in one direction. ADHD is hyperactive disorder. That's when you can't focus, but you're also just like physically and just kind of almost this. Always going.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I didn't realize that's what it meant. Got it.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, I got sober, and getting sober, which is another, I think, mental, you know, type of mental illness or disorder. But, you know, addiction is definitely an illness.
Yeah.
And I tried really hard in getting a therapist to just clean my body from any medication. So I didn't take any ADHD medication or any psychiatric medications, because I just thought, I'm going to work on this through therapy. And I've been able to do that for a really long time.
Yeah.
But I'm reaching a point now, and I think it's because I'm working from home, and everything's on a computer, and I have to write emails and draft scripts and like write, you know, make slides and all this stuff. And it requires so much attention. Focus.
Yeah, totally. I can't.
And
imagine.
I cannot focus.
Yeah.
Because I have ADHD.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And so I actually had a conversation with my therapist. I was like, you know, going to rehearsal and being in a rehearsal room where everyone's focused on the same thing is so easy to stay focused.
Because you don't have a choice. You're in the room. You can't be disruptive by doing other things. Even if you do check your phone,
but everyone's working towards the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
And so that really is perfect
and
for someone with ADHD.
And also your tasks are very limited in a room. Like, you can only do what's asked of you. And so you're just trying to figure that out the best you can to make it as simple as possible for yourself. So like you said, everyone's working towards the same goal, and you can't escape it. You can't escape the room until they tell you to leave.
Yeah. But then, you know, I definitely, over the last few years, when we moved to Charleston, was really struggling emotionally. I've had those moments, like when I was on the tour at South Pacific, I was very depressed. And then we were in Charleston, I was very depressed.
So is that what's happening now? You feel like you're depressed?
No, I think it's actually a focus issue.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm just having a hard time focusing. And then when my productivity goes down, I don't feel successful, which
right. So then it's like a spiral,
right? And it sort of depletes my confidence.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to like, yeah, it all just kind of cycles through. It's like, and then if my confidence is down, then I'm not very motivated, then I'm not more productive, and right. then I'm not productive, and then I'm my confidence goes down. I mean, it's just like a really vicious cycle. And the ways that have worked for me over the years are is really being very deliberate about my self-care.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm eating well, when I'm meditating and journaling and doing those things that that help me focus, I am more productive and I feel better and I'm more confident. And you live with me. How much of that am I doing at this current moment?
I would say maybe 20%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that to me, the mental health stuff is challenging. Like, and even the physical stuff too, right? Because I know if I work out, if I do yoga, I'm going to feel better about myself, which helps my mental state. But I'm not, right? It's mm-hmm. like, because I used work. I need to book work. I need to look good in an audition. That was a great motivator for me to go to the gym and work out.
Right.
But I'm not doing any shows right now. So like my motivation is low and it does not help my mental state.
Yeah. I mean, exercise is definitely for me something that really helps me feel good, not just because it keeps you in shape, but it just, you know, releases endorphins that make you happy. And then it just makes you keep wanting to do it. And right now I feel like I'm in not like the best habit of working out. I was doing really, really well here in Texas, actually. I was doing really well. And then we moved. And once we moved, my flow kind of got interrupted. And also the building we were living in before had a gym in it. And so I would go there, or we also lived close to the gym that I joined. So it didn't feel like it's not close, but it wasn't that far. Anyway, since we've moved here, I've only been to that gym probably twice. And I've danced a little bit, but you know, I definitely feel like exercise, especially for me, is key, especially because it's something that I did like so intensely for so long and it took up so much of my time that now, like in this period of like COVID and all of this stuff, it's such a like weird feeling to feel so kind of far away from that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
But talk about your mental health, like history in your family. Like, do you remember, was there any history in your family that you knew of or anything you experienced?
I mean, it's interesting. I don't think growing up I knew that I didn't have a clue about mental health or like good mental health or bad mental health or anything like that. I think as far as like me personally, like I can remember just kind of feeling, you know, like the typical like separate, different, like kind of feeling like I wasn't where I should be, or, you know, just kind of having those like anxious like I wanted something, but I didn't know what it was, kind of feeling. Like I wanted to be somewhere other than where I was, like all of the time. And so, you know, I quickly, or at an early age, started drinking. And I don't know that in the beginning, like when I started drinking, that it was like the end all be all, but like it was something that I did to excess from the very beginning. That is right. Excess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Excess. Did I just say that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, from a really early age, and it wasn't necessarily all of the time, but when it did happen, it was like to the extreme. And so that was just kind of like a habit that was created. And so then it just like got worse and worse, or progressed, you know, and over time. So, and then eventually the, you know, it just, my mental health had deteriorated in the same kind of way that you were just describing about, like, you know, not wanting to drink or do drugs, but then all of a sudden I'm doing a ton of them, and then feeling bad about it and not being able to sleep and not taking care of myself. And then like that kind of spiral of shame. And it was just, it was so hard for me to stop. Like once I started, it was so hard to stop. So it was, and it was also hard to get out of like that behavior, like even after a week and then going back to do the same thing. It was just, you know, so as far as mental health goes, like I guess the only thing that I can think of really that I've talked about a lot in therapy is just that, you know, I moved away from home when I was really young, and I had a lot of like crazy
abandonment,
but like not even, I guess it's abandonment, but it's also just like this feeling, it's like this homesickness feeling, like it's like it was, you know. And I often say like, if I had gone away at 12 years old in 2021, it probably would be different. Maybe I'd have those feelings still, but it probably would have been a little easier. Like because we didn't have obviously like cell phones, and now we can see each other when we talk on the phone, and everything is just way more convenient now. You know, whereas like before, when I was away at 12 years old, I had to call my mom on a payphone at a certain time, and we could only talk for however long, you know, not that long, because I think, you know, what was it, like expensive. 5 cents a minute, yeah. You know, 5 cents, 10 cents a minute. You know, so I think that my mental health, I'm not sure what it was like before that, but I know that that feeling of kind of, it's loneliness, right? It's like that feeling of loneliness is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And especially in the age before cell phones and computers and internet, when you were alone, you were like alone, you know, you're like,
well, also I just want to throw in there too, that I think as gay, you know, closeted young homosexuals and living in environments where we didn't feel comfortable expressing ourselves,
right,
there's that added element too, that it takes a toll. And I think that, you know, I think that's why, you know, even hearing, there's this amazing story of this black artist, on that show, the Oprah show. Oh no, he's a chef.
Oh, right.
He's so compelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the mental toll of just being a part of a marginalized community. And we are even, you know, privileged in who we are, but I think that, you know, the suffering, and he says something like this, the chef, he says like, you know, suffering is not, you know, just because you're part of, and Lady Gaga says something like this, like, you know, I'm privileged, I'm rich, and I've got problems, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that doesn't mean that like my problems are less important. Yeah, you know, I have to work on those things too. And mm-hmm. that is a huge part, I think, of what the mental awareness, and just being able to have a conversation about it. It's just being able to take responsibility so that you can do something about it. Because I think so many of us have struggles and issues that we're afraid to express because they feel minuscule compared to somebody else's struggles, or they feel, you know, and ultimately your struggle is your struggle, and you have to look at it and deal with it and get honest and truthful about it, so that you can help people who are less fortunate.
Right. You know? Or just help anyone, really, because you can't help anyone until you've helped yourself and get really healthy and right. And, you know, it's interesting, right? Like, the longer I've been sober, the more, I don't even know if it's clarity as much as it is, just understanding of myself more and understanding, the past and how, like, what's really true and what's not. I guess that's really what it is. Like, the longer I've stayed sober, it's like, I understand more about who I actually am and why I'm actually like that. It's not just because it's all genetic. Yes, some of it, a lot of it, most of it is genetic, yes. But there's also, like, you know, things that happen and things that shape you as a human being, and you're not even aware of it. You know, and it's just understanding and just getting closer to the truth. And it's interesting, right?
So what's helped you?
What's helped me? Oh, God. Well, first of all, getting sober. I mean, that was a huge thing that helped me. And
thank God.
And then, you know, continually, I think it's just having a constant shift of perspective and trying to look at things in a positive way. Continued therapy, you know, continued work on myself and trying to just be better, really. I mean, just trying to take the next right action. I mean, that's really what it is. It's like about getting out of yourself and just trying to move forward as much as you can and doing the next right thing, you know?
Yeah.
Is that helpful?
I think so. I think ultimately getting help.
Yeah.
We did a, like, a paid promo for a company called BetterHelp. And it's been interesting because we do get some interesting, like, hater comments, but
like, hater, so crazy. Oh my God. Like,
but
hated.
A great company, you know, BetterHelp. But also, I found that the Actors Fund has been a through line in supporting me in my journey of getting better. And, you know, the Actors Fund, if you don't know the Actors Fund, check out their website, theactorsfund.org. You don't have to be an actor to use their services, and their services are really incredible for anyone who's in the performing arts industry. So I would check out the Actors Fund. But like I said, doing those practical things that I don't often want to do, which is like journaling, meditating,
making the bed,
breathing, just taking deep breaths can make a huge difference for me, because I breathe very shallow and just normally, but when I take these deep breaths, it's like all of a sudden I'm in the room.
I'm breathing, I'm taking deep breaths, and it feels so good.
And talking, having therapy. I've had the same therapist, unbelievably, since 2003.
Wow, that's almost maybe 20 years.
2004, maybe.
Holy.
I'm still with the same therapist.
17 years.
He knows, he's like a part of my family. Like, he knows me so well now. And he even doesn't even live in the States anymore. He lives in Brazil, and we do all of our sessions over Zoom. I'm so grateful for Andrew, and I found him through the Actors Fund.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And I found my therapist through him.
Yeah.
That's right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have another therapist, and then I actually had two other therapists. I used to do a group sessions with outpatient rehab also for a long time, but that was so long ago now. Yeah, but yeah, therapy, talking. And I think for me, like, talking is, I'm really good at talking about the surface. Like, I can talk about what's happened. I can describe, like, exactly what happened and who was there at what time and what they were wearing. But I still, I think, struggle with, you know, really getting in touch with my feelings a little bit. It's definitely gotten better. And if anything will get you in touch with your feelings, it's now this past year, definitely. I think I cried more this year than I have
Yeah. A long time. I mean, honestly, there's been so much change. And I think that most people through the pandemic, and that's what they talk about on this series too, through the pandemic, it's just all came to the surface. Mm-hmm. But, you know, between our shift and change and, you know, maybe this is another episode, but I just turned down going back to Wicked, and that was a difficult decision. And so much of my identity has rolled into working on Broadway. Yeah. And, you know, there's just a lot of shift and transition. And we had, you know, we had an unsuccessful pregnancy, and that was really hard.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't have therapy and a way to process it and talk about it, it would just deplete me. And I'm at a stage where I have to really look and be honest with myself. And I really think that looking at getting some ADHD medication and support is probably my next step. And there's a little bit of shame around it for some reason. I think it just, I think I wanted to successfully be able to manage my ADHD on my own, which is not the thing to do, right? Right. I mean, like, that's like the whole reason they have Mental Health Awareness Month.
Right, because you need help. From others.
Yeah. So I have to work on that shame and look at that. But if you or someone you know is really struggling and you need support, check out those resources that we just mentioned. Don't be afraid to reach out, shoot a DM.
To the Broadway Husbands.
To the Broadway Husbands. You know, and we can point you in the directions that have helped us. You know, we're not therapists, of course.
No.
But we can speak to our experience. And, you know, we both continue to believe that, you know, a growth mindset and being our best selves is what's important.
That's for sure.
And hopefully you do too.
And we hope that, you know, this helped you today, and that if you're struggling with something, that you have the courage to ask for help.
And don't forget to watch Apple Plus, The Me You Can't See.
Oh my God, so good.
We're only on episode
three.
But it's very, very good. And hopefully will motivate you and inspire you to keep going.
You got this.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. And while you're at it, leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month. Thanks to our Patreon patrons. Don't forget to join our family by going to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
And a big shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Go to bpn.fm/husbands to check out the wide array of Broadway themed podcasts for your listening pleasure. And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love
and love what you do.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.